You are actually here with me because of it. And what I mean by that is when I was 6 months old in the Lord, Calvary Chapel of San Diego was going to have a weekend retreat at Twin Peaks Conference Center. And there, if you've ever been there, and I encourage you to go. Also, they're looking at having family camps, and we're looking to see when those are that we might be able to join in with them this summer and what the cost of those things are. Just fabulous. I remember one time that David Hawking had invited me up to teach for a study and at a family camp, and I was excited about going up there and taking my family and etc. Well, just that week before we went up, I get a phone call from Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa, a fellow by the name of Roger Wing. And he goes, "Pete, my name is Roger Wing. I'm with Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. David Hawking invited you to go up and teach at the conference center." And I thought, okay, here comes the bomb. They don't want me. What's going on? You know? And he goes, "Well, if you haven't heard, David's in the hospital with pneumonia. He can't do the conference. He can't teach. You are now in charge, and you're going to teach the whole thing." Oh, my goodness. But I learned all things are possible through Christ Jesus. And I learned that even in the midst of attacks, because the night before we left, our son Peter was riding a skateboard at his uncle, my brother's house, where we had stopped off just to visit, and broke his collarbone. So at 4:30, 5 o'clock, we were there in the hospital at Escondido, opening up the emergency ward. So all week, you know, he had to have this sling and cast. And what did he break? Was it this one here or this one here? Oh, he broke this one here. Had a crinkle in his, oh, that was a different time. He's broken so many things. But he had a cast on the whole week through. And if you've ever heard me, such great memories. That's the camp. If you ever say to me, and we're in a good mood and not, you know, if you come to me, "Pastor, I really have a real difficult time and I'm just going crazy," I won't do it then. But there was this little boy, five, six years. He spoke with a speech impediment, kind of like me right now. And thank you, Carrie. And the funny thing was, he would come and stand with adults and just stare up at you. Cute kid, little hat on the side. And he'd just go, "Quathy? I with Quathy once. They walked me in the wubba womb. Wubba? Worms are made the wubba. Worms drive me Quathy. Quathy? I with Quathy once. They walked me in the wubba womb. Rubba? Worms are made a wubba. Worms drive me crazy." He'd stand there for a half hour. He would never stop. We never saw him with his parents. That happened at Twin Peaks. And it was really an amazing thing, because when I started and began and they were expecting David Hawking to come up, all the families and everything, I walked out and presented myself and I said, "Well, first of all, I'm not David Hawking. Second of all, David's sick with pneumonia and he's in the hospital. So let's pray for him." So I prayed for him. I said, "Now I know some of you guys are thinking that it's second string right now. You were expecting David Hawking and you got me. And you think it's second string. And you know what? You may be right. But how many here believe in the sovereignty of God? Raise your hand." Well, everyone wrote, not, I'm talking about the audience then. Obviously, only five of you here do. I said to them, "How many of you believe in the sovereignty of God? Raise your hand." Well, they all raised their hand. And I said, "Do you think that God knew that David would be sick and that God knew that I would be doing this? If we believe in the sovereignty of God, then he brought you up here for a specific reason and he brought me up here for a specific reason and the few other speakers that will be coming up during the week for a specific reason. So therefore, in God's economy, you're first string, and all of us who will be teaching you will be first string if you have the right attitude. If you have the wrong attitude, you're going to have a lousy week. If you have the right attitude, you're going to have a phenomenal week." And we had a phenomenal week. It was a great time because they understood the sovereignty of God. So how does this happen that Twin Peaks and you're here? When I was 6 months old in the Lord, Calvary Chapel of San Diego, Pastor Mike McIntosh scheduled a weekend retreat. I signed up for it. I'm not going to tell you. Well, I'll tell you how much it was in those days. For a weekend, you talk about inflation, $40. But remember, that was back in 1975. That I know that was right after the dinosaurs died. I know that. Kerry, you're close. So what happened is that there was a friend of mine by the name of Jim Gray. And if you've ever been to Twin Peaks, you have down below the fireplaces and all the chairs and everything. And then you have two stairways going up into the play area. Now there's a coffee shop, bookstore, etc. up above. Well, we were just about ready to walk up. And this gal by the name of Madeline comes over to Jim and says, Jim, stop, stop. And are you going to do it? Do what, Madeline? Well, you know, the Bible study that I asked you to teach in my house, will you do it? Will you do it? And he goes, you know, I've been praying. I just don't feel that I'm supposed to. So I'm going to say no. Oh, no, you got to do it. You got to do it. I go, and she goes, and he says, no, I just, no, come on, you've got to do it. And I think what he just did in his mind is said, to get her off my back, I'm going to tell her, Pete'll do it. You know, like that old commercial, Mikey will eat it, you know. He just turned to me and said, Pete'll do it. Now, I'm 6 months old in the Lord, and I don't know anything, really. And she looked at me and said, you'll teach a Bible study at my house? And I said, sure. You know, I was willing to do anything for the Lord. But I was wise enough to say, but you're going to have to ask Pastor Mike. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, Mike will never say yes. You go, you really will? Yeah, but you have to get permission from Pastor Mike, because I can't just do that without him knowing about it. So she goes, okay, and away she goes. And Jim just, whew, I got out of that one. And about an hour later, she comes back all excited and says, I talked to Pastor Mike, and he said yes. And I went, oh! I didn't know anything. I went and stood, when I got back down to San Diego, I went and stood at a Christian bookstore. I looked and looked and looked at commentaries. I didn't know which one to get. I didn't know who was who in the zoo. I didn't know anything. I looked and you know, no, that's way too small print. I can't read that thing. You know, I finally got one, didn't know the guy. Turns out that his name is Barclay, great historical guy, but he doesn't believe in miracles. When Jesus walked on water, it's because he knew where the rocks were and he could just step on them. Hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. That's what Barclay believed about miracles and stuff. But he's a great historian. Well, I sat down my very first study and I wrote out 11 pages of notes. Went there. Read 11 pages of note verbatim, closed in prayer and said, good night, and I ran away. And I did this for a few weeks, and then, you know, it kind of got a little bit more relaxed, And, you know, I would look up and add a little bit instead of just reading, just kind of growing and learning, and because I didn't know anything on how to teach or any of that, you know, the Bible. And then I got comfortable enough, that I could stay. And I stayed, and we were talking one evening, and this one gal says to me, I have a question about a certain thing in the Bible. I go, what? And she gave it to me, and I didn't know the answer. And so I did the most spiritual thing I could think about. Let's turn there and read. Stall tactic. So I turned there, and as I read it, I just thought I saw the whole thing unfold. And then after I read it, I just shared it with her, and she looked straight at me in my eyes and says, man, are you full of it? And I looked at her, and I said, full of what? And she goes, full of the Spirit. That's exactly what it is. I see it. And you know what I learned right there? God could teach me just by reading the Word of God. And I've learned that. I've had some of the best sermons when I'm alone with God and He just illuminates something in my devotion. It just comes to light and He just shares and penetrates to my heart. That's why devotions are so important. So I went from that, teaching that at six months. I went into a convalescent hospital ministry and was teaching that. And then I came down here. Somebody said, what do you think of El Centro? I go, I've been down there. I don't think much of it. And he goes, but would you be willing to go down there? I said, well, I'll pray about it. That's another stall tactic. When you don't want to answer something, you say, I'll pray about it. And I prayed about it. And the Lord said to me, what are you doing for me? I go, well, I'm teaching this, I'm doing that, I'm in charge of the counselors, I'm doing this. He goes, no, what are you doing for me? Everybody has, you know, sees you and hears your name, pat you on the back. Well, what are you doing for me? And I realized that maybe my motivation wasn't exactly where it should be. And as a result, I went back and I said, you know what? I'll go down to those folks down there that want a Bible study for one time and see what the Lord says. I went down there one time. During the study, I felt the Lord say, come back. So I told him I'd be back next Friday night. Came back the next Friday night. Said I'd be back the following week because I felt that's what the Lord told me to say at that point. And you know what? Every Monday I wake up and the Lord just says, keep coming back. And it's been over 36 years. And you know where it started? Right there at those stair steps. Right there of Twin Peaks going upstairs. There has been some monumental times that have taken place on the mountaintop right there. And I was just so blessed to be there. And I shared that part of it with the men. And Saturday night, there was a time that we waited upon the Lord. And part of Pastor Rob wanting people, if they wanted to be anointed with oil, that, you know, they could come up and be anointed with oil. And he'd already had me praying for people. And then there was another pastor, Dave, here. And he says, and Dave, I want you to anoint Pete because of that prostate cancer thing that they're going through, or he's going through and stuff. So Dave reached over and put oil on my head. Rob came over and put his hand here, and Dave put his hand here. And I felt one hand on my back. And they just prayed a sweet prayer. And I had my head down. And when I opened my eyes, I saw guys from our church in front of me and Rob saying, turn around. Turn around. And I turned around. All of our guys were up there almost praying over me. And I just turned around. I looked at them and I just went like this. Oh. God just touched my heart again for how we love one another in this church and how we care for one another. And I'm so blessed just to be your pastor, but to be able to go back up there where it all started, and you're all part of that because of this. You know, it's amazing that when we take steps of obedience, how it affects people in positive ways. When we take steps of disobedience, how that affects people in negative ways. And I just thank God that God knew that, you know, Jim didn't want to teach that study. And God knew that He wanted me down here because there's not a lot of crazy surfers that would move to El Centro. And you're stuck with me. You're stuck with me. And I am just blessed. And I am just blessed that that, if you would, crossroad took place at Twin Peaks. And guys and gals, there were crossroads in men's lives this last weekend. We were on the mountaintop. God met us there, did a lot of wonderful things inside of people. And some of them are going to share right now. So Hector, would you and the guys that you've asked to come up, would you come up now at this time? Guys, come on up here. They're going to share. And I don't know, Hector, if you have an order or what you're going to do, but.
You guys have to stand right there. So we're all going to stand
right. Make sure you introduce yourselves, guys.
Hello? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? All right. Good morning. My name's Aaron Messick. I'm new to Calvary Chapel. Okay, my kids, Clarissa and Taylor, have been coming here for the school year. And little by little, I've been coming more and more. And I'm making it my home church. I was invited a little over a week ago to go to the men's retreat, or just before the men's retreat. And I wanted to go. I hesitated, you know, work, family. We prayed about it. And you know what? The Lord opened up the doors, and I was able to go. And on my way up to the retreat, I met Gene, great guy. I don't even know if he's here today. Oh, he's out of town today. I met Russ. Where's Russ? Russ, he's awesome. Oh, nobody's here. Anyways, the group of guys that I went with, it was just a great time. There he is.
There's Rusty. He's doing his usher duties back there.
We had just a great time on the way up there, and it would set the tone for the weekend just on our trip up there. Once there, we engaged in fellowship, and that continued out for the rest of the weekend. I've never felt so close to a great group of men ever in my life. I served in the Marine Corps. I've been a police officer for over 10 years, and just how we all came together and the men that are in this church empowered me as a man growing in God, and I loved it. I took a lot from it. When Hector asked me, would you talk about what happened on the retreat, I said, I guess so. I really don't know what to say. But all I could think about is how we, in life, we run out of stuff. We need more stuff for our home. We'll go, like, to Costco, and we'll stock up. We'll buy, you know, a big thing of toilet paper enough for an army. We'll buy so many cookies we can feel the neighborhood. We'll buy all these tubes of toothpaste, and for some reason, we'll go through them in about a month. But going up to the retreat was kind of like going to Holy Costco up in heaven. And I took in all this love from God and the Holy Spirit. And you know at Costco how you get those little samples? Well, we were being fed the Word of God over there up at that retreat. And it was great. I loved it. Anyways, so a big thing for me, my battles right now is with my profession. I see that there's evil out there on a day-to-day basis. And a big reminder to me was that, you know what? I'm not a cop who happens to be a Christian. I'm a Christian who happens to be a cop. And so...
Me first.
We need you.
Come on, Victor.
Don't do that.
Good morning. My name is Jesus, and not Victor like on Wednesday. I'll tell you guys about it on Wednesday later, but I'm a new baby Christian. That's when they told me the first day they saw me here, like, you're a baby Christian. Welcome. A lot of people saw me and they go, what is he doing here? What is he doing here? Hi. There's people up here from work that know me and always been a good guy, but not a man of God. It all started when I met my fiance. She's been helping me get through this. And one day she says, I'm going to the church. Either you follow me or you don't, but I'm going. I said, okay, let's go. We came here. I liked it. God has always been with me, but has never been obedient. Always been, everything's happened in my life, and I'm like, I know it went this way because God went with me. Things have changed. Now I'm a better person. And the minute I stepped foot in the church, I'm like, this is where I need to be at. This is where I belong. I felt it, and they asked me if I wanted to go to the men's retreat, and some people probably thought he's not going to go. And I went like this. I said, yes, I'll go. And my girlfriend said, you going? I said, yes, let's sign up. And I had a very beautiful experience when I was out there.
Wait a second. What he's not telling you is, are we ready? What he's not telling you is that he signed up for the men's retreat during announcements. But at the invitation, at the end of the message, he accepted Jesus.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did, and it felt and it felt great. I get shaky. I'm used to talking in front of people. Some people know me. I'm used to talk, but right now it's like I'm shaky because I feel the presence in me. And up in the mountain, we were worshiping, and I started getting shaky, and I was asking God to, I was opening up to God and said, I'm here, this is what I need to be, do what you need to do with me, I'm ready. And I started getting shaky, and I had my eyes open to the Lord, and I started seeing a vision. The Holy Spirit showed me my life. He showed me all the sins, all the pain, all the anger, all the people that I hurt, people that I cheated, people that I did bad things to. And he asked me, do you want this? I said, no, I don't want it no more. He said, do you want to get rid of it? I said, yes, I want to get rid of it. Take it away. I don't need it. It's not what I want no more. It's not what I need to do. I need to just put it a pass. And he showed me God healing the blind man. I was standing like behind him, and I saw him doing it, and I couldn't understand. I'm like, what's happening here? And then he showed me God in the cross. And just as I looked at him, I was looking up to him like this. He just lifted it all up. I'm so shaky right now. He lifted it all up, and I just felt it from my bottom of my feet all the way, just like pulling strings, like just taking it all up. And he gave me a mission. He said, now I have a mission for you. He said, go out there and recruit people for my army. I said, yes, I will. And I've been starting to do some work, and it's showing up a little bit by little. And with faith, we're going to make this a great army, stronger army than ever. Thank you, God. Okay, nobody wants.
It's a little bit of a hard act to follow, but I guess. Well, like Jesus, I'm pretty new into being a Christ believer. I'd say about 4 months or so. But the main thing I took back from the retreat is to have patience. I grew up in a pretty angry household. It's kind of transcended onto me, so patience is not something I'm very good with. My fiance, she's out in the car sleeping, I think. She has quite a few illnesses that make it hard for her to kind of get up in the morning sometimes and be with our son sometimes, so it kind of puts a lot of the pressure on me. And I haven't always been very patient about it and very kind and loving like I should be about it. So there was a moment when we were worshiping, and Pastor Rob had said, you know, along the lines of basically, if there's any verse or anything that kind of pops in your head, say it out loud. And I haven't read through the Bible all the way yet, and I don't know much about it at all yet. But for some reason, when he said that, Proverbs popped into my head. I haven't read it. I don't know anything about it. And then 4:12 popped in my head. And if I could, I'd like to read it real quick. I'm shaking, just to let you know.
Oh, you're computerizing it.
Yeah.
Did you find it?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay.
And it's out of context for being in the Bible, but for me, it was pretty in context. It's 12 and 13. It says, "When you walk, you won't be held back. When you run, you won't stumble. Take hold of my instructions. Don't let them go. Guard them, for they are the key to life." Basically, what I took back from that is, you know, patience isn't the easiest thing in the world, but, you know, when I've got the outstanding love of God and the outstanding love of my fiance and my family, it's, you know, why get upset that you got to wake up a little early in the morning? Why get upset you got to change a diaper that's full of poop or something like that, you know?
Something like that.
You get blessed. I don't know what the kid eats. He's all over the place. Basically, you know, when you have all this outstanding love in your life, it's just a waste to get angry and get mean and say things you don't really mean to people that you really care about. So that's my experience at the retreat.
Hello, can you hear me? My name's Lou.
Hi, Lou.
There was a lot of that up there. Felt like I was in a meeting. Basically, I just wanted to share that I went up there and I had a really great time. To be honest, I didn't want to come back down. It was kind of hard to come back down after you've been up there. But I just, it was really good to see people share, and then see men share, actually. I mean, that's like me doing this right now. This is hard. And I've never been able to do that. I've never been able to get close and, you know, and be in close contact and pray and all that stuff like that, and just be in close contact at all with grown men. But that's all you have up there, and it was really great to see the fellowship, and they're all just sharing the word. You're not up there with a bunch of, you know, guys partying and all that stuff like that. They're partying, but they're partying with the Lord. It was really good, and it makes you open up, makes you want to share your experiences, and no matter what you had to say, everybody was there and they were listening to you, and that makes you feel really good, and it was just really good. And I just wanted to say that I know the men here can sing. They may not do it while they're here at church, but hopefully the DVD will come down sometime from up there where you'll get to hear them sing, because it was really nice. Felt really good. Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. I don't know what to say.
Hi, introduce yourself.
All right, my name is Sean Oviso.
Hi, Sean.
Hey, guys. It was my first time going to the men's retreat, and I don't know. There's just something about being completely submerged in God's word and around other believers. And as Pastor Pete was saying earlier, we really do have a great group of men here, and the brotherhood and the camaraderie. It's a beautiful thing that so many churches don't have. I just want to share one thing, though. I'm not going to make it long. But it wasn't something that God had directly hit me with, but it was more me seeing it in someone else. I cried several times, not for what God was saying to me, but because I saw my... I saw my dad singing to God. And I saw him praying. It was the best thing ever. So that's what I took from it, to be able to have a man who's my father, who's now seeking after God after so long. It was beautiful.
God makes all things new. He really does. So that's what I took from it.
Sean almost died in the hospital without knowing Jesus, and he came to know Jesus, and he's a different man altogether.
Like Pete had said, September of 2010, I was on my deathbed, and didn't know the Lord. Doctors gave me a 10% chance to live. I had a team of 12 doctors. My liver had failed, and I was on the liver transplant list and was going through dialysis because my kidney was failing. And when I was in ICU, I remember seeing Pastor Kirk, who at the time, for me, pretty much gave me my last rites because I was done, and I knew I was done. I remember thinking, "You're done. This is how you're gonna go out. Game's over." And I also remember Ray and his family driving up to San Diego to come see me, and them praying over me. And for that, I'm forever grateful to the Santa Pauls and to Kirk and everyone else here. My time at Twin Peaks, this was my third year in a row. Since being, I guess, reborn physically and spiritually, I've gotten involved in quite a few things here, and I'm pretty much here 7 days a week now for about, 7 hours. So it's a beautiful thing. I couldn't ask for a better place to be, and I thank everyone that I've met and all the new experiences and future experience I have to share with my church family. So thank you all. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Pat.
Hi, Pat.
I'm going to use Pete's podium here.
Explain why we're all doing that to you. Explain why we all say hi, Pat.
Oh, we all say, when somebody says, "My name's Pat," at the men's retreat, everybody says back, "Hi, Pat." That's why. They all say that, so let you guys know.
When our group got together, we spent about 2.5 hours, and someone would start off and say, "Hey, hi, I'm Pat," and everyone would go just like, the meeting, "Hi, Pat," and so it's kind of stuck.
Well, what I wanted to share with you guys was, this is what touched me at the retreat. The whole thing did, but this is what really stood out for me, and I just wanted to share it with you. I'm just kind of go where it started here. It was Saturday evening, and we were all worshiping, and it was just an awesome time when the Holy Spirit moves, and when He starts to touch you, it's uncontrollable, but it's an awesome thing. And I remember worshiping, and I believe it was Pastor Rob. He told the men, he asked the men, if the Lord puts any scripture or any verses on your heart, speak it. So let it out. And so as I was sitting there and I was just worshiping and praying, I asked God. I said, "God, if you have anything for me, please reveal it to me. Show me." And it was pretty amazing, right? Just as soon as I asked, it was like, bam, Psalms 103, 1 through 5, just like that. And I was kind of floored, but I was excited to, hurry up and look at it to see what it said. So I'm going to share that with you. If you want, go ahead and you can turn to it, because... Psalms 103, verses 1 through 5. I'm going to read it all the way through, and then, because sometimes it, well, for me anyway, it takes me a couple times to read things before it actually sinks in or I get what God's trying to say to me. So I'll read it through, and then I'll go back through it. Verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And those five verses just really stood out to me. And I want to go back over the verses, because it was pretty cool that what, because as I read it the first time, it was like, okay, Lord, I didn't get nothing. What you want me to get from this? I read it again, and then I think on the third time, finally, that's when the Lord reveals his word to you. It's like Pete always says, he will show you, he will reveal it. Anyway, I just started writing it down in my book as fast as it came to me, and anyway, the first verse, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. And I just, bless the Lord, O my soul. And I thought about that. And all that is within me, all my strength, bless his holy name. And it's I don't know, it's bless him, but it's also praise him and glorify him. And that's all these things started coming to me. Honor him, you know, besides the bless. And so I just quickly wrote that down, how we bless him in his holy name and with all your whole body, your strength. And then as I went to verse 2, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul. And I got the same thing as the first verse, and forget not all his benefits. And I was thinking, forget not all his benefits. And the first thing that came to my head was his blessings, who he is and what he's done for us. And all the blessings in my life and what he's done for me is just, wow. And I all I could think of, and I wrote down, thank you, Lord. And verse 3, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. And I put down who forgives, obviously, all of our sins, all of our wrongdoings, and everything that we've ever done. Like Jesus was saying, it's just, he's an awesome God. He takes all that away. And that was my big thing there. And it said here that who heals all your diseases. And the first thing that came up was, you know, how we sometimes have hurts and sicknesses, and then the big thing for me came up was carrying the prayer chain, and how I read those and I pray, and all those prayers that come true, and people getting healed, and that's my God that heals right there. And you know, I'm going to verse 4, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. And I thought, man, Lord, you saved me from sin and its consequences, and you reward me with your love, and you just pour it out on us, and you're so kind and compassionate. And then we always say your tender mercies, and his mercies are new every morning. And I go to verse 5, the last verse, and this was kind of funny, because we always say the Lord has a sense of humor. So it says, who satisfies your mouth with good things? And, you know, me being up there at the retreat and all the good food, I figured, man, Lord, thank you for the good food and satisfying my mouth and my tummy. So I was like, you know, that was the first thing. And I was like, wait a minute, Lord, you got something else for me here. I know this isn't it. So, But as I thought about it and prayed about that, you know, it's that physical food that we ate, you know, it was for my physicals. But I thought, you know, there's something else. There's also that spiritual food. That spiritual food, his word, you know. And a lot of people say it's the meat and potatoes. And for me, it was his word, that meat and potatoes. You know, that's where I got my strength. That's where I get my strength. That's where we all get our strength. And it's from your word. So I was like, okay, that's much better. I like that. And so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And I was thinking, Lord, that just fits right in there because your word, it strengthens us, it restores us. That my strength will be renewed because you say your word, it just fills us, it renews us, it strengthens us in our everyday walk. And one more thing I just wanted to share with you is, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And I don't know if Juan's here today, but Juan, are you here in here today? He's here? Okay.
He's in there.
I know when we were all gathered in the circle there in that little room, and he was feeling kind of uncomfortable because there was a lot of old guys there. And he was talking about old guys. But, you know, after I read that and the word that we, when we read his word and take it in and use it in our daily lives and it strengthens us, us old guys, we ain't old with his word. And we get our strength renewed.
Oh, and, you're talking about the young one, not the old one.
Yeah,
the young one.
The young one, yeah, the young guy. So that I just kind of wanted to. And then the last thing I thought was, thank you, Lord. You're awesome. Thank you for showing me that verse and speaking to me. And I wanted to share it that night, this verse that night. But it was amazing. Like I said, when the Holy Spirit starts moving, there was a lot of guys there, and everybody was just quoting scripture and reading scripture. And I didn't get a chance to do it. So I just said, okay, Lord, I'm going to wait. And even on a Saturday morning, Bible study, men's Bible study, I was like, Lord, if it's your timing, let me read this. And it was so funny that at the end of Bible study, Hector comes up to me and he asks me, he says, hey, dog, you want to share on Sunday morning with your experience from the retreat? And I said, yeah. I said, I have something. And I kind of told him that I've been waiting to share it. And he told me that, well, this is the time. And I was like, amen. So thank you, brother.
Hi, my name is John.
Hi, John.
What we haven't mentioned so far is that I think last year, how many men showed up? 26, and the year before was 22. This year we had 36. We had 36 men that showed up. Okay, we had 36 men that showed up. And it was a humbling experience, overwhelming. You go to something like this with certain anticipation. And it started off in just the drive up. I had the pleasure of driving up with Jesus that I've known for a long time. And I've known the old Jesus, and I got to witness what happened with him. Unbelievable. But we as men, we have a responsibility to our families. And a part of that responsibility is that we're supposed to be that leader. So 36 men stepped forward because they were able to, with either the time, the finances, get away from work, whatever the case may be. But I know that there was a lot of other men that were not able to go, that their heart was with us. So I have a desire that every one of us, every man that's in here, have an opportunity to be able to experience this. The year before, we were sitting here, and they had the announcement for the retreat. And I looked over at my wife, and I said, how come my son doesn't want to go? How come Brenda doesn't want to go? And she said, he does. And I said, well, how come we haven't signed him up? And she goes, because she knows that we're financially, or because he knows that we're financially tight right now. It was the same week in the Soul Fire, and my daughter wanted to go to that, and I said, okay, we can't make that decision based on our finances. We have to do whatever we can to be able to make sure that they go. We'll find a way. So I was able to send my son, and I was able to send my daughter. When my son came back, when both of them came back on that Sunday night, we must have sat in our living room probably for about a good 3 or 4 hours, just my wife and I just watching them and listening to them. And finally, we I don't know, whatever time it was, we finally realized we hadn't had dinner and it was almost bedtime. So my son made me promise something, and that was, Dad, please, next year, promise me that you'll go. I swear I wouldn't do this. Yeah, I say that all the time now. This is my son, Brendan. And we were one of six sets of father-son.
Five and a half.
Five and a half.
Okay. But we got the six to realize.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Ray, where are you? Thank you. So, guys, fathers, I need y'all to take that chance or take that step to be that man that you're supposed to be that spiritual leader, because it opens up your eyes. My son was able to open up my eyes. I want you to talk here in a second, okay? Right. So, we had a life-changing experience about 4 years ago, and that's when we found Calvary Chapel. And I'm 44 years old, and it took me until about 2 years ago to finally open up my eyes to what the Lord was trying to slap me across the face with. And I've never looked back. Having an opportunity to go to this explained to me more and more about being that spiritual leader. As a husband, as a father, as a brother to these men. We have that responsibility. We're supposed to be that cornerstone for our families. So why aren't we? That's a question we all have to look inside for. One of the guys there said, in regards to his wife, pray for your wife. Pray for her every day. Because if you don't, somebody else will. Then again, maybe nobody else will. And I took that very literally because I was raised by a Georgia Southern gentleman. My father's from the Deep South. I'm from the South myself. But somewhere along the line of opening up the door for my wife and treating her with respect every second of the day, I had neglected to stop, or I had stopped doing that. I stopped opening up that car door. And it made me realize again, what is it that I'm supposed to be doing as a father, as a husband, as a spiritual leader? So I rededicated myself to doing that. But in addition to that, it's also about our children. We're going to falter. We're going to have dust. We live out here in the desert. We're going to have dust that falls on us. And it's going to fall onto our shoulders, on our spirituality. And we've got to be able to brush that off. And that's what this does. It revitalizes you. It's overwhelming. It's a hunger that you just cannot fill. Although I think I had about 2.5 plates of food every meal. Yeah, I eat a lot. This past week, there was an instance where I got upset at my 9-year-old. And I raised my voice at her. And she put her head down and she said, yes, sir, and she walked away. But then within moments, it fell on my heart. Why? Why did I just say what I said to her? So I went back over to her, and I got on my knee, and I asked for forgiveness. And she said, that's okay, Daddy. And I said, no, it's not, because Jesus wouldn't talk to you that way. So why am I? So again, 36 men. I know that there was other men that wanted to go. Don't let it be a financial issue. we will all gladly pitch in. So every man that's in here, we've got to do more to be that foundation for our families. And this is our family right here. We need to be a better foundation for our family that's sitting in this room. I love you guys. I love you. And I thank you. And this is my son. I want him to be able to share with you guys as well.
Hello, my name is Brendan.
Hey, Brendan.
This is my second year, as my father said. Last year, not just this year, it was a huge blessing. And for you, those of you who think, oh, I'm going and it's just for me, no, if you don't go, there's potential blessings other people won't receive from you. I was able to go back to last year. I was able to be in a room with some really good men, Juan, Jose, and I forgot the other few guys. But I was explaining one morning during a little devotion we had, the relationship and how close I am with my father. And I was able to touch Juan. And it's now because of what God spoke through me that Juan and his wife were able to get their answer to their hopefully future daughter that they have in the room over there that they are adopting. So it's not necessarily things that God does just for you. He's able to work through you to other people. He's able to talk through you and give other people their answers that they're looking for. It was a great experience to be up there with my father and grow close to him. We're not just there worshiping and reading scripture the whole time. We have a little tiny break. It's actually 5 hours, where we actually went hiking on the mountain. And last year, I made the huge idea of going by myself. And I was lost in the woods on the mountain for a few hours. Dark started setting in. A lot of wildlife was coming out, and I was scared. So I had my phone, and I was able to open it and see scripture. I was like, I wanted to just break down, no phone reception, nothing. And it was because of little things like that, that I was out by myself. I was able to see, and God was able to show me what it is to be a man. And to be a man is to be more like Jesus Christ. This year came around, and there was five of us that went out on this run. And it's probably about a good 2-3 mile just run up a really steep grade into the peaks.
With snow.
With snow, ice, it's freezing, wind. Beautiful, though. It's gorgeous once you get to the top. Long story short, we got lost again. And God's able to bring men together and show them, whether if it's inside the sanctuary there, and we're worshiping, or if it's outside, he brings us together and shows us little glints of what it is to be a man, or any messages or little things that we're looking for. My mom posted a photo of my father and I on top of that mountain. And again, I'm very close to my dad. And Dennis and his wife posted something on my mom's photo. And she said that Dennis's new inspiration is my dad and I, because we're so close for him and his son. And I'd like to thank you for saying that. There's a lot that goes on up there. It's a very emotional time, but it's so... I was telling one of the guys, our cup gets empty and we're able to fill it up again. And it's a great thing. Thank you.
Hello, my name's Hector.
Hi, Hector.
Yeah. Before we get cold on the subject, Aaron wanted to present Actually, I was sitting here thinking that, you know, you've heard it said that vegetarian means bad hunter in Indian. Well, I think monger means bad tracker in India. So we wanted to present them with a whistle and a compass for when they go up there next year. So, definitely runs in the blood. As I asked these men, as I was praying about who to ask, the Lord revealed that I needed to pick these guys, and I pray that their stories touch you guys. And there's a bunch of other guys that went up there with us I'm sure all you guys could share what an awesome time we had up there, but we're already running late. Like John was saying, the amount of guys we took up there this year was just awesome. I remember my first retreat up there was, I think, in 2000, and I went up there with Calvary Chapel Ramona, which is the host church. And I remember looking at Calvary Chapel Central, and it was like four or five guys. And I go, look at that puny little church. It was Pastor Pete, Fred, Dale. I remember those faces, Billy Self. And I just remember these guys just following this tall guy around. And and you know, it was so awesome that if you guys have been up there, if you're standing on the stage, there's a little room on the left-hand side way in the back. We used to sit back there in that little den back there. Well, we didn't fit in there this year. We had to graduate into the sanctuary, and we took up the whole that whole left side. And when I sat there, I was counting the chairs. I'm like, perfect. And we all sat there. And it was just awesome, and I took a spot in the back, just watching these guys just worshiping, and I was inspired to take my phone and record one of the times that we were worshiping with nothing but manly voices. And I played it for Patty yesterday. We're up on a road trip, and she was weeping like a little girl. Just the awesomeness of just hearing nothing but manly voices up there just worshiping their God, or our God. And, as I asked these guys to come up here, there's guys up here that, short of Rambo, there's cops, there's correctional officers, there's plumbers, computer scientists.
A tall guy.
A tall guy. I'm reading this book that Henry lent me about the apostles and how the Lord chose these men out of just, they weren't anybody special. He just chose them and they were willing to follow. And I look back here, there's nobody back here. These guys, I saw these guys melt like butter. We all did. And, something that was put on my heart, even just yesterday, there was a lady that asked me, invite my husband to join you guys. You wives and children need to pray for your dads that the Lord would use them and would break them, because that's what it takes. And unfortunately, that is what it takes, because I do remember years back, there was guys that went up there with us that were broken, and then we just kind of fall right back into our norm, pray for your husbands. I know that when Patty, you guys all know Patty, and I'm Patty's husband, she could use that extra prayer also. She's just, I was warning a gentleman down here off that mountain about watching out for the attacks. And wouldn't you know it, Sunday night I came home and I fell right into the trap. I sat there and went, Lord, I fell for it. I'm sorry. I had to go right back up there and apologize to her. I crushed her. And, you know, we're all, I mean, we're all susceptible to those attacks, you know, and wives, just don't give up on your husbands. Pray for them that they would break, be used. So, but anyway, that's it. So, thank you.
In that gathering that we had, it was brought out, wow, last year we had like 26, now we have 36, and someone said, well, maybe next year we'll have 46. And I looked at him, I go, 46? Let's shoot for 66. and so, gosh, $16 a month for the next 10 months, you're paid. Gosh, you know, just leave off one Starbucks and you got it for a whole week. What? Oh yeah, you get $10 back if you turn in your key, they give you $10 back, but you still need to come up with it up front. Yeah. It was a great, great time. I did plan on teaching a couple of the questions that weren't addressed last year or last week. And I hear that Kirk did a wonderful job. I hear he bragged on my car. But anyway, he's the one that's going to get the Rolls Royce, not me. So you had to be here, I guess, last week, because those went over like lead balloons, Kirk, right now. I'm telling you, they're just terrible. God is good. God is faithful. And right now you're thinking you can't go next year because of this, because of that. Why don't you pray this or that out of your situation and go. Just do it. Just go. And you'll be blessed beyond measure. And you know what? It could be a turning point in your life. Something could happen up there like it happened to me. And you're all part of the blessing just simply because somebody asked me something up there and I said yes. You know, God may ask you up there to do something. And it may take the world by storm. Just be obedient, and God will bless you. Well, Father,